Ladies and gentlemen, as coronavirus, now COVID-19, continues to spread, and as the number of cases continues to rise exponentially, officials in the United States have announced that it's just a matter of time before the virus really gains a foothold here. In fact, some counties are already declaring emergency declarations. Los Angeles has asked 1,000 people to self-quarantine. Yes, it's going to take a softer form here in the U.S. because you can't just do what China did or people would freak out. But it could escalate rapidly. In fact, the U.S. military has already started enacting their pandemic preparedness plans through an executive order yesterday that kicked them into gear. That, for the record, includes quarantine assistance for civilian operations. In other words, they're deploying the military on U.S. soil. Never mind Posse Comitatus. Forget that pesky constitution. Folks, this is a global problem, and global problems demand global solutions. Such was the language invoked by the Club of Rome over 100 years ago as they concocted the threat of global warming as this existential threat that would serve to unify nations under a world government. And this is exactly that kind of a global threat. In fact, in the words of the Director General from the World Health Organization, quote, "We are mobilizing the full power of the United Nations. No one country or organization can stop this outbreak alone. No. Our best hope, in fact, our only hope, is to work together." Spoken like a true globalist. Indeed, invoking the script from the Club of Rome, but echoing also the words that were concluded by billionaire Bill Gates-funded Event 201 only mere months ago, which imagined that a coronavirus would cause a pandemic and kill tens of millions of people the world over, necessitating new levels of cooperation between global health officials, private companies, and world governments. You may have heard about this exercise, this predictive programming sort of a thing where they pretend that there's a crisis and then suggest the solutions that they really want to have implemented before they actually cause the real crisis. What you may not have heard about was a similar exercise created by a different billionaire, this one George Soros, called the Food Chain Reaction Game. This game imagined that in the year 2020, the food system would be under immense amounts of stress due to overpopulation, rapid urbanization, political instability, of course, climate change, and disease. Yes, George Soros imagined 5 years ago that come 2020, there would be an outbreak of a disease that would so severely cripple the global supply chain that tens of millions of people would starve to death. Are we now seeing this script come to life, just as we saw the Event 201? We need to talk about this. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer Channel.
An epidemic, either naturally caused or intentionally caused, is the most likely thing to cause, say, 10 million excess deaths, and that it's pretty surprising how little preparedness there is for it. Now, it's tricky because this is a global problem, so you know how do countries work together? Which countries should put up what resources?
Wait, did he really just say that? An intentionally caused epidemic is going to kill tens of millions of people?
An epidemic, either naturally caused or intentionally caused.
He did say that. Stunning. It's as if this guy can't help but give you a glimpse of the truth. I mean, after all, this is the guy who said, quote, if we do a really good job on vaccines, we can reduce that population number. It's clear what agenda he serves and what master he's reporting to. We'll come back to Mr. Gates here in a second. I first want to acknowledge that the CDC has called out it's just a matter of time before this virus reaches the United States and is really gaining a foothold, causing mass responses. And after all, if this is going to be a global problem that demands a global solution, then of course it's going to get to the United States. It's got to get everywhere. We already see counties in North California, Santa Clara, where San Jose is, declaring a state of emergency over coronavirus. Of course, everything's fine, nothing to worry about, they tell the public, even as they take steps to prepare. Preparing is exactly what you and I should be doing right now. Los Angeles as well has self-quarantined 1,000 people. You see, it's going to take a different form here in the United States, because if we just started welding bars to people's apartments to trap them in and sending drones with thermometers to take people's temperatures, people would freak out here. You can't do it like that. So China has, as we've talked about in the past, already been the trailblazer, the psychological icebreaker that demonstrates to the rest of the world what kinds of extreme totalitarian measures are expected to be taken to contain an outbreak like this. And now the U.S. will slowly will unveil those things, raise that frog temperature up a little bit at a time. But the indications are there that it's going to go all the way towards the medical martial law that they want. That's by design. And of course, as I mentioned, the U.S. military branches are springing into action after a executive order was passed yesterday. That document does describe how they will be providing quarantine assistance, as well as surge production of vaccines, and of course, emergency mortuaries. A number of provisions were described, but the most chilling thing is just that it's somehow all right to unveil the United States military on domestic soil, which is a blatant violation of posse comitatus. That's not supposed to happen. But it has to happen now, you see. If the virus stopped now, everyone has already seen how dependent we are on China. As I mentioned in my last video, before the media frenzy around it, we get 97% of our antibiotics from China. We depend on all sorts of manufacturing and food that comes from around the world. And at this point, that's been seen, and people are questioning, well, this is ridiculous. Why do we depend on China for our medicine? Globalism was a terrible idea, people are saying. And so that's not the lesson that we're supposed to learn. So of course this outbreak has to get worse, and it has to get worse everywhere, because it's global solutions they want, and so it's global problems they must create. No one country can stop this outbreak alone. Our only hope is to work together. To see the Director General of the World Health Organization saying this should be laughable, but it's actually, the stakes are too high. It's pretty frightening. And I want to return now to this event 201, because it had a number of conclusions that stemmed from their simulation, their game about tens of millions of people dying. That's the kind of game I like to play on the weekends when I hang out with my billionaire buddies. So Bill Gates and these Johns Hopkins folks get together, they simulate tens of millions of people dying, and then they conclude that governments and social media will need, this is on their page here, governments and social media will need to work more closely together to ensure that only the appropriate information reaches the public. So they're designing censorship around this entire thing. And of course they describe, the next severe pandemic will not only cause great illness, but we could also trigger major cascading economic and societal consequences that could contribute greatly to global impact and suffering. Now, a number of channels have covered Event 201, the fact that it was a coronavirus in the simulation, just as now happening, the fact that Bill Gates owns patents on vaccines. There's a bunch of background about this that I don't think we have time to get into here, because what I've not seen discussed and what we need to talk about is the fact that food shortages are also expected after an outbreak like this, is that the fact that the supply chain is breaking down, that there are shipments of pork stuck outside of China where the ports are closed right now, and that the transport logistics are breaking down. Food chain reaction game, which was run by the Center for American Progress, which is headed up by John Podesta. Yes, that John Podesta. I can barely look at him. And it's funded by George Soros, was the other simulation run by billionaires recently that took a look at what's happening this year in 2020. And that was even in their script, that in the year 2020, the global food system would be under tremendous stress, as you and I know that it is after immense crop losses last year during the changing growing seasons. This role-playing exercise was intended to improve an understanding of how governments and private sector interests could help to preclude a crisis in the global food system. But it's just fascinating that an outbreak was the trigger that caused the global supply chain to collapse in their simulation. Mark down two simulations then run by billionaires that have pretty closely tracked what we seem to be now exploring, this path we're exploring now in 2020. The think tanks will use these games, these simulations, these exercises, they have a number of nice words for them, to seed the solution that they want to come out when the problem actually happens. So they actually are predictive programming the solution bit of the dialectic problem reaction solution. Then they cause the problem, and then of course they guide to that solution which they had pre-suggested. So we're now running through their script. This is what it feels like. All that fear you may have been feeling, well, take a breath, because this is all part of the script. I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm not saying it's not dangerous. I am saying this is all in the cards. It's all part of the plan to gain total control over the food supply and over all aspects of resources and over fundamentally over you. Soros's food chain reaction game concluded just as Bill Gates's Event 201 concluded, that the solutions to these problems are more global governance. Never mind the fact that it was globalism which made our food supply chain so fragile in the first place. No, just make it even more globalized. I'm sure that will solve the problem. The game also concluded that much more agricultural research and development is critical. We'll come back to what they mean by ag R&D. It means taking seeds and taking in the Terminator seeds and replacing farmers in smaller countries, developing countries, with this ag tech nonsense, this disgusting transhumanist fake food. Now, I just want to really drive this home. The effects that that global food chain reaction game, the food collapse that it predicted, we're now walking that path. Here it is. Egg investors are betting that China's virus fight is going to curb the food supply. And this is the markets demonstrating that they see food scarcity on the horizon. It's not terribly hard to make out from the details of the fact that during the quarantine, they stopped all animal feed from reaching farms. And that this is on top of African swine fever decimating their supply of pork. So now we have these videos, and it's impossible to verify any of them, but there's plenty, if you'd like to find them, of videos on Twitter of massive amounts of ducks and pigs and chickens who are on the verge of starvation and being herded into pits and buried alive. Some of them do come from official sources, like this: China grain reserves releasing 8,000 tons of soybean meal just to assist the animal feed companies to try and keep those animals and livestock alive. They are treading a very dangerous path. Coronavirus disrupting China meat imports and the food supply in general during this pork shortage that was existing. I'll read a bit. Coronavirus is disrupting meat shipments to China as the country faces a shortage due to an outbreak of a fatal pig disease, according to Tyson Foods and other ag groups on Thursday. This disruption exasperates Beijing's efforts to ensure adequate meat supplies. The dual disease also highlights the problems facing import-dependent China in its efforts to feed the population. The disruptions of the ports have skewed shipments and receivables. So those ports are shut down and all imports are just blocked. They're just waiting there. That has carry-on effects to everybody else. This is part of the plan too, and I want to remind you that just as global warming, which they're pushing super hard on climate change, is a global problem that requires a global solution, so is this global outbreak. It's why people like Jerry Brown, after the North California fires, are so bold as to make the statement, look, these problems are going to continue, and they're going to get worse, and we're going to make believers out of even the staunchest climate deniers, because they know what's happening. They've got this planned out. They've run simulations. They've seeded the solutions. They're building a global totalitarian system, and they want perfect control over you and of your food. So this agricultural research, I said we'd get back to it. back to Bill Gates and his billions of dollars deployed on this vector. Even though he's been doing this for quite some time, it was called the Green Revolution, it wasn't working fast enough for him. So just in the first weeks of 2020, while this virus stuff was going on, maybe you didn't notice, you could be excused if that was the case, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has unveiled Gates Ag One, which is yet another push to get farmers into high-tech farming, into ag tech. Only ag tech isn't to help farmers. It is to replace them. It is replacing farmers with technology, just as the products that they're releasing are replacing real food with fake food. This is the transhumanist food that I've been describing. From the article about, which is critical of Bill Gates, about Ag One, quote, "For decades, they have been pushing new seeds and technologies into farmers' fields around the world. It seems Gates is impatient. We didn't think that research was getting to the crops, to smallholder farms in a time frame that could reach them. We wanted to accelerate this. We weren't getting our job done fast enough. After all, this is Agenda 21 and 2030. Those aren't just random dates, ladies and gentlemen. Those are deadlines. These people mean business. And it's not enough to study what they've written about academically. You need to internalize it and know these people are actively attacking you. This is going on now. And they're not just going to say it's Agenda 2050 next and things are going to carry on as normal. No, there will be more wildfires, more weather warfare, more starving us out, more killing us off with viruses engineered. All of these things are being deployed by the powers that be now to get people to submit. They want people to feel cold and afraid and hungry and pained so that they will do whatever is asked of them. I saw a lot of that after the wildfires in North California. People were saying, yeah, you can take my food, you can take my electricity away as long as we don't have more wildfires. They're being flogged into submission, and the floggings will continue until the UN has total control. Now, from their press release about Ag One, we read that they're targeting sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia, with about 3 billion people between those two different areas. But more specifically, and look at this doublespeak here. Quote, "Farmers will be forced into increasingly unsustainable practices to feed their families while coping with climate change. They'll have to, for instance, expand crop production into forests and other fragile ecosystems. This could even exacerbate climate change more." So if you read through the lines there, they literally just said, because of climate change, small farmers might make climate change worse. It's the most circular reasoning, completely ridiculous. But, I mean, they don't need to make sense, right? They've got everyone cold and afraid, and they're going to ram this down your throats, whether you like it or not, along with the cockroach milk and the insect proteins. All of these things are going to go to hyperdrive right now, especially in China, where they'll have a complete protein shortage. Why are these billionaires so obsessed with our food system? That when we've seen Bill Gates spending $171 million to buy up farmland across Washington, we've seen Bill Gates plowing his funds into GMO crops, like I said, the Green Revolution, and into genetically modified super cows. What's going on? Why is he so obsessed? They're consolidating the control over the food supply. And again, just within the first few weeks of 2020 now, we've seen Walmart, who already had their own milk processing plant, is now opened up, where'd it go? Their own meat packing plant, January 2020. They now have a complete monopoly from retail through the processor of how to get that meat to market. That means that if someone comes along with fake lab-grown meat, like Bill Gates is working on, well, they can just swap out under the covers, and then instantly they'll have the retail market cornered with fake super cow milk and lab-grown meat, just as has now already happened with billionaires that were funding indoor vertical farms called Plenty. We saw that was Eric Schmidt. It's gone. We saw Eric Schmidt and Jeff Bezos funding that, and as soon as Jeff Bezos bought Whole Foods, I said, well, there's his market for Plenty, for his indoor vertical farms. That's now happened. Again, in the first few weeks of 2020, Jeff Bezos funded plenty.ag is now putting their indoor vertical farmed fake food greens into Safeway and Whole Foods using the retail that he purchased. A lot of these things are moving quickly, particularly while people are distracted by the public health scare. The billionaires are obsessed with this food system, and they are funding rapidly these alternative ag and ag tech things. But there is hope, ladies and gentlemen, and that hope lies in your ability to grow your own food and in your ability to inform the people around you in your community to stop eating that toxic poison that is enslaving us and to start protecting our local ability to grow food and then celebrating it, eating it. I took inspiration by these groups from Tamil Nadu of traders who literally saw that their own profits were shrinking, that they weren't able to sell coconut milk to people locally because they were all drinking toxic Pepsi and Coke. So they rallied and they got support and they banned Coke and Pepsi from their state. These people that we're fighting are not all powerful. And we just need to mobilize forces. We need to educate people around us, first of all, and then mobilize those people to move against them. Imagine if your city banned Coke or banned GMO foods or banned any food that wasn't grown locally up to some number, say. These are the steps that we can be taking now to separate ourselves from these crazy billionaires, to divorce ourselves from the systems of control that they are erecting as rapidly as they can. It's time to grow your own food, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to save those seeds because that is the most rational and certainly the most effective way to fight back against what's going on right now. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching. Please spread this word. Start growing your own food, saving those seeds. Let me know what's growing well for you. I would genuinely love to hear from you. You can reach me at iceagefarmer@protonmail.com. I'd also appreciate your support for this broadcast. It is what keeps me running through patreon.com/iceagefarmer and join the Discord on iceagefarmer.com/discord, where we are actively talking about all of these issues, tracking the progress of the virus, and sharing our own preparations, what's working well, what's growing well, and how we're getting ready for all of this. Thanks for watching, folks. Thanks for sharing. Let's go build great things.